Turn your stupid Mac off. God's sake, stop it.
Please hold. Your show is currently being prepared. The show is currently still being prepared. Your listenership is important to us. You'll be put through soon. In the meantime, please try our website at www.lugradio.org for our full archive of the show. You are currently number 73 in the queue.
Hello, my name is Rupert.
A few weeks ago, we went down to Microsoft, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
We did.
We went to Microsoft. Blog.
We were invited to Microsoft.
Should we explain the story?
We didn't just gay crash the
which, incidentally, isn't my home, before you start thinking it is.
Three of us went down, Abe was already there.
Basically, the Lug Radio team had an invitation from Microsoft UK to go down for this kind of discussion day in which they'd ask us questions and we'd ask them questions.
And just us.
Just us. And it was great, wasn't it? We headed down to Reading on the train, good laugh going down, and then it was really well put on, wasn't it? It was a nice day. It was really productive.
I mean, the premise of the day was that we were going to go and talk about how Microsoft could better interact with the Linux and open source
with the community.
And the guys that we met, the main guy was Nick McGrath, wasn't it, who's been mentioned on the show before, is the head of UK platform strategy.
We should get him on the show sometime for an interview.
He said he'd like to. Mm. And so what exactly does head of UK platform strategy mean?
I think he basically deals with...
How they approach.
I think it's predominantly how they approach competition.
It's their strategy for the platform, where what he does is he comes in and goes, I think our platform should be Microsoft Windows. And then he goes, right. That's his entire job.
He's got a massive collection of platform shoes in his cupboard.
Enough of this.
Sorry, carry on, man.
He described himself as Microsoft through and through. He cut him with a knife, and he's like a stick of rock, right?
Yeah. No fucking aspirations of not being it.
The other chap that we saw was Nick Barley, who was head of UK marketing, I think.
Didn't he write Trainspotting?
No, that was
Irvin Well.
Was he the guy who used to work for Oracle before?
Yes, he was,
Yes.
Mm. So he moved like 500 yards down the road to Microsoft.
So those are the people who we met.
Mm. Amongst a few others as well.
But they were the main guys.
A load of guys came in while the lunch was being served.
Yeah.
I'm John from Microsoft. Shook hands, ate a load of olives, and then fucked off again.
It was extremely opulent, wasn't it?
It was the lunch.
It was just shed loads of food that all just went to waste.
Opulent, that's a big word.
Oh, thank you.
It was olive-tastic. I mean, I've never seen so many olives in one room.
I didn't even
know
it's possible to have that many olives in the world.
There was like a massive, massive bowl of olives. A bowl of olives. And then as that was put out, there was like...
Another massive bowl of olives.
An emergency bowl of olives. That was the
vegetarian olives, because that was on my trolley.
Vegetarian olives.
Basically, they've got a... Tuscany.net, just the building.
So let's not talk about olives, and let's talk about what we actually saw. Yeah.
Now, I mean, the day was divided roughly in two. We spent the morning in discussion.
In the brainwashing
section. And then the afternoon with them trying to go, look, here's Windows Vista, isn't it really, really good? And trying to convince it was good and doing demos and stuff.
Yeah.
And quite a lot of the time telling us how great their interaction was, and then actually got torn down.
Integration.
Pointed out.
Interoperability.
Interoperability.
They really hammered home about how they think that they're interoperable, and we confronted them on the fact that they're not actually interoperable in certain areas. They are in other areas, but they had this interesting slide. Just explain to the listeners. I don't know why I'm looking at you guys, because you've seen it.
Yeah.
They had this slide, and it had Windows in the middle, and then it had loads of these
big
other companies around the edge. And they said, look how interoperable we are. And
these are our friends.
Look, all this stuff can talk to Windows. How interoperable are we?
The point we made was that interoperability, it's more like a partner scheme as opposed to interoperability. The fact that people who weren't on that list probably couldn't interoperate with them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
it
was... They seemed
genuinely shocked about that.
He did,
They did. We tried to make the point that...
And actually seemed to take it on board.
Yeah.
More to the point.
Well, it looked like they were taking it on board. And we went down, what, a month ago, and so far I haven't seen a exchange being open sourced.
Fucking Windows hasn't been open sourced yet.
No, but I mean, this...
I asked him in the lift about that, by the way. Do you remember?
Yeah. As we said, they did seem to take on board, but the important thing I thought was they genuinely did seem quite surprised. They were kind of, well, we set it up so other people can talk to us, and we make partner agreements with people, and that's being interoperable,
isn't it? Yeah, but that's
their
world, isn't it?
It is.
That is their world. That is the way that companies like them operate.
Whereas they could just publish an open standard and let anyone talk to them, that's the point that we put across.
Exactly. We did try and point out, you know, if you want to say, okay, I want to use Exchange because I think it's the best mail server that there is. I actually really like it. I want to use it. Then you have to use Outlook on the desktop.
And but what do you have to use? You want to use Outlook?
Yeah, Windows.
Windows.
At that point, you're not interoperable. You're basically saying you can't choose to use Exchange without using Windows everywhere.
Here's
and that's
the thing,
not
though.
Interoperability. They you know, they will say, yeah, it implements ICS and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
well, no, all I was going to say very quickly is that even Entourage, the Mac mail client from Microsoft, isn't fully compatible with Exchange.
Right.
Mm. It, do you know how it does it? It uses Active Sync.
Oh, right.
It uses Active Sync, and it doesn't use the proper Exchange protocol.
Evolution uses OWA.
Well, yeah.
Outlook Web Access.
I know, that's
not
a Microsoft product, is it? I mean...
Absolutely. But that's the point. That's how they have to interoperate with it, because you can't talk
to the Outlook
it
connector. Is that how the Outlook connector works?
As I understand it, it uses...
Right.
It talks to OWA.
Yeah.
The point that we tried to make as well was the fact that if someone wants, let's say, a mail server... They should, each product that they want should be judged on its own merit. So instead of, like we say at the moment, if you get Exchange, you really got to use Outlook. And then if you use Outlook, you got to use Windows. Is the fact that they shouldn't be having these ways to hook people in different ways. You should be able to get a product and have it work with anything and then buy that product from Microsoft based upon its own merit, as opposed to because you have to use it because you've got Exchange.
Why?
Relatively surprised at that point.
Their whole business model is based on that. Why?
Completely.
The flip side of the argument is that the flip side of the argument is if I've said, I'm going to use Linux on the desktops, that's what I want to use, then at that point, I can't use Exchange. Or there's no point in me using Exchange because I'm not going to get the full benefit out of Exchange
unless
I use Outlook. So if I'm not already completely committed to Microsoft, it actually makes it more difficult for me to bring Microsoft stuff into my setup unless I'm prepared to chuck away everything I've already got. At the moment, they've got the dominant position so they can say, yeah, it's difficult for people to shift away. But anyone who'd like to shift bits of their infrastructure to Microsoft software will find it difficult to do so.
And that is what we try to get across to them, isn't it? The fact that, you know, it is actually beneficial for Microsoft to be interoperable, because if they're not, then people are already beginning to see that there is a world outside of Microsoft.
I mean, what I was going to say was the fact that the problem with that approach, the fact that you're tied into these other bits of software, is that Microsoft, the word that you always hear from them these days is interoperability. That's all you ever hear from Microsoft. And it's great that they're looking at that, but having to use specific pieces of software to use another piece of software is not interoperability. That's basically locking people in different ways.
It's a dependency.
Naughty Matthew Revel.
Was it
listeners,
me?
Did you hear that buzzing noise? That's Matt's mobile, which he's left on.
As we walked around like the Microsoft campus, I mean, was it me or did you feel a bit weird, like we're in some kind of movie set, like, you know, with the canteen and the sofas outside?
Not really.
And the great big massive Microsoft banners on every wall.
I felt like a pilgrim in an unholy land.
I'm surprised you felt like that, because
it just seemed a little
surreal. Because you were out the window. You and I have already been there, whereas I thought these two guys may have felt a bit.
I'd already been there. I mean, I hadn't had the full tour.
I just walked around there and thought, okay, it's a fairly nice office environment.
Oh, no doubt. It's a really nice place to work.
You know, I mean, the thing is...
Free Coke.
Well, we get that where I work anyway.
What the powdered stuff?
Panda Coke.
It's Virgin Coke.
If you don't mind working on Microsoft software, Microsoft must be a great place to work.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You know, they do their best for their staff, and that's brilliant. You know, if your keyboard breaks, you just walk down and say to people, I need another keyboard, and they go, here it is.
Yeah.
No filling out a change request form and waiting 4 days and then getting a crap old one from the cupboard while they order you a new one and your line manager signs it off.
But it's like working for a gold company and just getting free gold, isn't it? I mean,
just to interrupt, I don't think if you work for gold companies, you do get free gold.
No,
that's not how it works.
No, gold bars, those little biscuits.
Yeah, no, brilliant.
I used to love gold bars.
Yeah, me too.
Until I was sick on them once and never ate them again. The thing that obviously wasn't at the UK office is developers, and so we didn't see any sort of sandal-wearing geeks wandering around.
It's pretty much sales and marketing.
And that was very prevalent in Redmond, and I'd like to see that kind of thing. What because I think part of the problem is because we don't tend to see Microsoft from the inside because they develop from the inside. You don't tend to see that they've got real hackers working for them. You know, real, the kind of people we associate as being the open source hacker ethic. And you don't really tend to see that. And I think Microsoft should put that on show a little bit more often, because I think a lot of people don't realize that people like that work at Microsoft. You know, some really cool technical people work there.
Yeah.
Doing some really interesting things with exactly the same mentality that we've all got.
It's interesting to hear them talk about their sort of open source lab or their Linux lab.
Yeah.
And how they'd recruited people from like so many different places, like Tiny Sofa and all the rest of it.
It's just, I mean, that's another perfect example of the content. Look, you see, we've got, there's this client that you can get. It's a third party client or something. And look, it's supported on these brands of Linux. And here's our big list of Linux brands it's supported on. But you don't need a list if you just go, here's the source, compile it yourself. I'm not suggesting everyone becomes Gentoo or whatever.
I mean, they did.
But at that point, if Ubuntu isn't on their supported list yet, tough shit. You don't get to run it.
I mean, but to be fair,
that's not the point that you're making. I accept the fact that you have to say, yeah, everything is open source.
That's not really an issue. That's a distribution issue.
Yeah.
And I don't mean a Linux distribution issue. It doesn't surprise, I don't think
if they've tested it with 200 different Linux operating systems, that's pretty fair.
It's not fair to rat on someone just because they haven't got a Tiny Sofa Linux, which is going to be the canonical example of a shit Linux distribution for the end of eternity.
Well, you never know.
Well, not a shit Linux distribution, a tiny Linux distribution with sofas.
That nobody knows.
But if they don't provide a package,
you can't really rat on them.
And he made no apologies for them being a commercial software company.
Yeah. Well, hang on. That's what he said.
That, he said, we're a commercial software company.
I'm not denying he said that.
Oh, right, okay.
What I'm saying is that the problem is that they kept on confusing the idea of commerciality
and we pointed
with
that
being
out,
open source.
I believe.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. And the whole point of view from them seemed to be that being open source was about getting a free ride.
And not being able to sell the software. Very clearly pointed that out, that you can sell open source software. You're welcome to.
And whether they understood it or not.
Again, they seem quite surprised by that. I don't know if that was fake surprise in that.
They reckon they
had
massive amounts of training. Everyone in Microsoft has to be trained on the difference between free software and open source, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
But they don't seem to be getting, I mean, you know, RMS has banged on for years about the fact that commercial doesn't mean proprietary.
Yeah.
And equally, proprietary doesn't mean commercial, i.e. it's proprietary but non-commercial.
The thing that surprises me is that we talk about open source and free software every 2 weeks, right? And the things that we say, typically people who listen to our show understand what we're talking about. You know, concepts of community and all the things that we know about that are part of this community, people understand when they listen to Lug Radio, in the same way that people have those conversations at Lugs. The thing I don't understand is how Microsoft are finding so much difficulty in understanding that. If we can have that conversation with 15,000 people, why can't Microsoft understand that message as well, if you see what I mean?
To Microsoft, it takes a lot of people who come into our community a long time to start understanding the nuances between free software and open source. And also the idea of...
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I have difficulty putting into words to someone, you know, when I'm tired or whatever and I can't be bothered, why free software can be a commercial, you know, you can make money out of it.
Yep.
You know, I mean... Obviously you can, and
but as a professional person, I mean, as someone who works fairly high up in the IT industry, you'd think that they'd be able to find somebody who can distill that message in such a way that it can be recreated inside Microsoft and understood. And in many ways, that's what Bill Hilf is doing.
You would think that they would understand
that. Surprises me that there's so much difficulty in understanding that kind of side of things.
I don't think so. I mean, if you look at Microsoft, one thing you can say about them is they've been a very, very successful commercial software organization. And for them, basically, you write a piece of software, someone gives you money for it, and they only come to you. That's what their whole business model is.
Yeah.
So when they think we write some software, what they think is we keep it in-house and then they pay us for it and they come back to us and pay us again and again when we upgrade. I'm not trying to be mean to them, but that's just the way it works. When someone comes along and says, here is it's a different concept.
It is.
I can understand why there's a certain amount of difficulty grasping it, because it's just completely against the way you think your mind works.
As Matt says, it does take a while to get your head around the differences.
If you look at, there are people I know, for instance, who insist on taking public transport everywhere. Now, I think they're mental. And no matter how many times they try and explain to me why they think it's a good idea, I just can't get around the idea that taking public transport is a good idea. But it's a similar kind
of... Save the environment.
And it's just against... Yeah, I mean, I can listen to their reasons and I think, well, okay, that's a reason I can see it. But I can't internalise the idea that getting rid of a car is good.
I don't think that it's that simple. I mean, yes, Microsoft...
You've got a daughter. You should be thinking about the environment.
Microsoft... Microsoft have got their hello. Microsoft have got their their way of doing business, right? And yes, they've been doing it for years. Okay? But just because that's your way of business doesn't mean that it's impossible to understand a different way of doing things. And when you're a company
they are pretty
that
polar opposites though.
But that I don't think that matters. That's like saying that if you're a communist, you can only understand communist theory, and you can't understand, a completely opposite or different types of theory in different ways.
Exactly what happened.
Can you describe then to me what distinguishes our? All right, no, you could probably have a fairly good go at saying this is what communism is. This is what some other system is.
Capitalism.
No. Hang on, but. If you sat down and started thinking about what really makes capitalism, yeah, you might say something about free markets and things like that. But because it's the environment we live in, it's so ingrained in our nature that it's more difficult to understand. It's so difficult to understand your own culture. So they're so ingrained in being Microsoft and being, as Ack described, the we write something and everyone gets it from us and that's it, that maybe they just can't see beyond that. And it does seem crazy, but that's why they're bringing in, I suppose, people like Nick Barley from outside.
I'm not denying the fact that I'm not expecting them to change their view or change their philosophy.
No, I know, but
I'm not expecting them to understand it in one fell swoop, in a single session. What I'm saying is that it surprises me that it's so difficult to understand that. And what I'm saying is that the open source ethos, the open source way of doing things, is definitely something that in many ways has to be experienced to fully understand it. You need to be a part of that community. And it surprised me that it's been so difficult for Microsoft to try and put that kind of theory in a way
why does that surprise you? If you're saying that in order to truly understand the open source community, you have to be a part of it, and they're not willing to be an open source company because they want to be proprietary, why does it surprise you because that they don't understand it? They're not part of the open source community, so why would they understand it?
What I'm saying is it's a case of finding people who have been a part of that community who can explain it in such a way that Microsoft understand.
That's why they invited us, though.
Partially, yes, but to be honest, Microsoft have been looking at open source as a competitor for about 4 or 5 years.
That's the point. They've been looking at it as a competitor. They're not trying to understand it. They're just trying to defeat it.
See, you have
to know your enemy.
I wouldn't go as far as to say that we were invited to explain open source to Microsoft. We were there as just another bunch of people. No, they're going to be doing.
I don't believe we were the only people to do that. They probably invited thousands and thousands of different open source people to do that.
Yes,
but who's blogging about it? This is a question worth asking. Who's saying that they've been invited down though? Because as far as we know, it's us and Alan Cox who are invited that day. Alan couldn't make it.
Yeah. The people who went to Redmond, John Owen, Brian Balendorf.
The thing is,
but the point is that it may be that. That group of people, including us, are the first people to have been invited in the UK to that sort of thing.
I don't think they're the first people that were invited. It's probably the first people who went, from what the impression I got.
I think the thing is that I don't know whether it's different perceptions of how things work, but to me, understanding how communities work isn't a difficult thing. And understanding how open source communities work and understanding
having been a member of a community for how long?
Yeah, sure, but
yeah,
that,
I mean,
but
do you understand how finance works?
No, but
people who do finance would say, well, it's just obvious, but I don't get this whole community thing, because you've been part of a community for the last 20 years.
Hang on a second, but the thing is, what I'm saying is that you don't necessarily have to be in, you don't necessarily have to join that community to understand it. You need to have access to someone who's been a part of that community that can extol those virtues and those concepts to you. The point I'm making is they're such a massive corporation, they've got so much money behind them, right? And it amazes me that with all of that money and all of those resources, that they found it so difficult to understand something that's native to so many people. It's like, you can understand what it's like to be, to go to, Mexico.
I think more people understand their model than understand our model.
Sorry? Yeah. And that's the point I'm making, is that it just surprised me. I mean, it's certainly not impossible. It's certainly, it just surprised me how difficult it's been for them.
Without wishing to, draw a rather dodgy analogy, Aid, if I said to you, it amazes me, there's this really, really rich guy, right, and he's got all this money and all this power, but he can't seem to get hold of the idea of inner peace, right? That amazes me. Why? Would you say, well, if he's got all this money, surely he'd be able to buy someone to explain it to him?
Yeah, that's what he should do.
Is there anything else that happened on the day that we want to go through?
What was the overall take?
What else did we discuss?
What was your overall impression of Reading?
Didn't really change much for me.
Of Reading?
Microsoft Reading.
Microsoft Reading.
Not Reading as a whole.
No, I mean, do you mean literally the Microsoft campus or the day that we had there?
The day that we had there, yeah.
What I took away was really that, yeah, it's all very nice that they're looking to find out more about what open source is, but really, it's plainly obvious from what they said, and they were quite blunt about it, that Microsoft will not change. And maybe in 3 years' time, they will, or 5 or 10 years' time, they will start to realize that maybe open source is more than a small irritant, and it has developed a big pearl around it, and now it's a bit bigger. But right now, they're kind of making noises, and they're thinking, well, yeah, we need to understand it a bit more, because it hasn't gone away. But they still are going to be the same people who sell proprietary software with a box and charge you a license for every person that uses it.
They categorically said to us in the lift, or to me when I asked the question, when are you going to open source Windows? And he said, absolutely never.
Yeah.
We will never, ever. And so that's fair enough.
So do you believe
I think they will do is they might make a bit more of an inroad or a bit more of an effort. Let's hope to start interoperating.
Yeah.
You never know.
That's the most I think we can hope for now.
Actions speak louder than words, obviously. And, yes, you know, absolutely. We need to see the actions, but, you know.
I was quite surprised at how little they get it. I really was. I don't know whether that's just Nick McGraw and Nick Barley and the couple of people we talked to. I don't know whether it was all put on for our
benefit. But
that's
because they're not part of the open source community.
No, okay, fair play. But, yeah, I mean, to some extent...
That's exactly my point from 5 minutes ago.
And to some extent, I was surprised. But I'm not surprised that they haven't been able to get it, having thought about it. It just... I assumed that they just understand.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean... Matt, question for you just before we finish up. Do you think that the reason why they're looking at open source is because it's a weird little thing, and it's a competitor, and that's the reason why?
The reason I think they're looking at it is because it has proven itself to be persistent competition.
Yes.
And it has taken areas of the marketplace from their competitors that they thought they could take.
So you see, I don't think that's the reason.
I'll just carry on.
Yep.
And I think there people within Microsoft are starting to realize that maybe it is something that they have to understand because it is so different and alien to them. So to be able to compete with it, they need to understand what it is that attracts people to it because they know that it's more than just another bit of software. But yep.
It's a fucking lifestyle, man.
I still don't think that it'll have that huge an impact on what they do.
No,
I mean, I think that part of it is the fact that they see it as competition. But I'd say the main reason why they're looking at it is because if there's one thing Microsoft are good at doing is listening to their own customers, and I think their customers are wanting aspects of open source, aspects of open standards in their products.
I don't think that is
exactly the reason why this ODF translation layer thing for Office has come about.
Because they're losing business because it's competition.
Government contracts wanted it.
Yeah.
But that's partially, yes, there's the competition aspect, but I think it's because Microsoft, if their customers want it, this is something that Bill Hill said at Redmond. He said, if our customers wanted Office for Linux, we'd make it. He said, there's no ethical reason why we wouldn't do it. He said it's just our customers don't want it.
How come they were going to stop doing Office for Mac then?
Because they probably most of their customers didn't bother wanting it for Mac. They just wanted it for Windows.
I mean, I think similar to both of you, but just very quickly before we close this segment off, I think it's not that they see open source as a competitor, although they do. It's more that they see that the way we do things can provide some things that they currently can't do as well. Not the whole thing, and they're not going to go, well, we must be open source like the open source community then. But they can look at the way the open source community does stuff and go, hey, they can do some things quite well. And we'd like to be able to do those things well. Take all the stuff where we're better than them and wind that into their development model or their process or the way they think about stuff.
So it's essentially three things. We can do things that they can't do. It's customers want it and it's competition as well. It's essentially those three areas.
I think the development process things that you're talking about, I didn't pick anything up from that. I still don't think that they have any concept that maybe stuff that we do is better. I mean, listen to how you spoke about IIS. I mean, everyone knows that until IIS 6, IIS was a pretty ropey bit of software.
Absolutely.
But he was still saying, you know,
what's that
going to
do with development, though?
Because ACK was saying that they acknowledge that some of the software we have is better. But everyone in the world, apart from Microsoft, acknowledged that Apache is better than IIS.
I think you've got to be careful, though, that, as Nick McGrath quite honestly said to us, he's Microsoft through and through. So he's going to see IIS. I think if you speak to other people at Microsoft, they'll just say Apache kicks IIS's ass. I'd say, I mean, it's a generalisation in some ways.
I mean, the guys that we spoke to were basically number two level, sort of, you know, second tier down within Microsoft UK.
So there's an element
you've got to take what they say with a certain amount of seriousness.
You have, but you've also got to take with a certain amount of pinch of salt because they, you know, they're...
Well, it's a 65,000 strong organisation for a start.
They're Microsoft through and through, and they're so big, So, yeah, I mean, I agree with what you're saying, but I certainly don't think that Microsoft as a whole or Microsoft in general think that IIS is better than Apache.
No, but that was just an example. My point is more that I just didn't pick up anything from them that suggested that they think that the open source process is good. What they seem to be saying was, if a developer's knocked together something in his spare time and it's never ever going to make any money from Microsoft, then maybe we'll release it under the GPL.
Okay, on the show now we've got Graham Taylor from Open Forum Europe. How are you doing, Graham?
I'm fine, thank you, Jono.
How's things in your neck of the woods?
It's okay. Yeah, it's a nice evening.
Where is
it? The weather's good.
Fantastic.
The news is fine.
Bottle of beer.
So, there's been a big announcement recently about open document format and Microsoft. So, for the benefit of our listeners, run us through the details of that.
Well, months ago, open document format got a formal ratification by ISO. For many organisations, including us, that was a real good time to turn the screw on Microsoft and say, well, come on, guys, if you really want to be perceived as open, why aren't you supporting ODF?
Yeah.
And up until very recently, that had been really over our dead bodies, never do it, etc. But like all commercial companies, reason comes into it eventually, and certainly the governments in Europe put a lot of pressure on. So what we saw last week was an announcement from Microsoft that's given what I would call cautious support to ODF, which means effectively they're supporting an open source project to provide a plug-in into Office itself that supports ODF, as a two-way process.
So,
you know, it's good news in terms of that, a cautious, sort of reluctant company buy-in, but for us supporting ODF, it's excellent news, and excellent news for OpenOffice and the open source movement.
Fantastic.
A couple of times you've mentioned, for you as an organisation, can you just tell us a bit more about what you do as an organisation and who's behind you and things like that?
Yeah, sure. Open Forum Europe's been going now 4 to 5 years. We're completely independent, not for profit. And fairly unusual, we've always taken a business approach to the use of open source, and that's the way we've been going for some time. But really over the last 18 months, 2 years, we've been pulled more and more into the standards approach. So that was one of the reasons why we got in very early into, you know, pushing across Europe for support for ODF, because we saw that was very much a figurehead for what needed to be done. So we draw our members from some of the big companies like IBM, Sun, etc.
Really?
Okay. And also some of the user companies as well.
Wow.
So is the idea then that through promoting standards such as ODF, we'll be able to, as a community, promote kind of a trickle-down, in that if people are using it at work and that sort of thing, they'll become used to it as a format and want to interchange with their systems at home?
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking just about ODF here, are we, or on a wider basis?
Well, primarily ODF, but I mean, the general principle as well.
Well, the thing I think that that dragged us into it is we originally saw quite a big amount of reluctance from the business community to pick up Linux and some of the other things on open source, and there was no technical reason for that. It was always one of perception. So
one of the
first jobs we had to do was really as trying to, as far as we possibly could, to build up the credibility. You know, to get as many good news stories about who else was doing it. So if Joe down the road was doing it, well, maybe they should be looking at it. And also making sure that the governments were showing some leadership on it. But the real thing we're trying to get is a level playing field for open source.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the fact of life is whatever we might think, for most users, they're going to have the situation where increasingly they're going to have both proprietary and open source. So for us, you know, it's the glue that makes that work is the things in interoperability. And the one that obviously everybody got picked up and got fired up about was in open documents.
Absolutely. I mean, it really does level the playing field if they do support it. Just talking about the, how do you actually go about getting the plugin? I mean, what's the process and what versions of Office does it work with?
I have no idea.
You don't know that,
right? No, it's really early days. And I think the reason why we've only given it a very cautious welcome is because we've got no more detail other than what was in the press release. So,
this is exactly the sorts of questions that we've really got to understand before we can say, you know, yeah, this is something that's really going to be useful or no, it's not. Yeah. But they're not, it's not the only group that's been doing work on plugins, as I think you probably realise.
Graeme, the idea that a plugin to Microsoft Office that's downloaded after installation could level the playing field seems a bit fanciful to me.
Absolutely.
I mean, what do we need to do next? What can we as a community do to help try and actually level the playing field?
Yeah, I agree. It is absolutely only a foot in the door because, as you quite rightly say, the biggest thing is that it is not giving it native support.
Yeah.
As far as I understand, it's not going to be distributed along with Office itself.
Yeah,
so it's
totally
actually going to
take
it. Have to be a physical step for somebody to say, I want it.
Yes.
But in the case, and this is, you know, the reality thing comes in here, we have to be realistic about what we're going to get as a first step. You know, there's no way that Microsoft, you know, I would guess, were going to put it as a native in native support for it, certainly as a first step. But pressure changes things. You know, there's no question that Microsoft have made this, even this small move, simply because the weight of government pressure in Europe. You know, we saw the announcement last year from Massachusetts.
Well, exactly,
and very recently, in the last few weeks, we saw the announcement from the Belgian government, which gave support for ODF. Now, they didn't say it's going to be the only format that might be supported, so they left the door open in for OpenXML, if it gets there. But the important thing, as I understand it, and again, you know, just I might be corrected on this, but as I understand it, if there is a second format that is supported, it also has to support ODF. So that's a really important sort of pointer to how I think other governments are going to move forward. And we'll see, but that's going to drive that it moves from just being, you know, something, well, if you really want it, I suppose you can go and get it this route, to something saying, yeah, it's properly supported.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, obviously, in Open Forum Europe, the word Europe is in there, and you guys spend a lot of time
well spotted.
In Brussels and all the rest of it. How much interest does Europe have in ODF, and how far along the path are we to furthering its existence in government?
We're probably on about the first rung of the ladder.
Yeah,
so
right.
We shouldn't get too carried away, and we've got to be realistic. But it's a couple of pointers I'd say. The first is, as you know, the alliance, the ODF alliance, was formed in what? Was it March this year?
Yeah.
4 months ago. And that's gone from, well, I think it was 35 organisations on day one.
Right.
It's now up to 230 plus.
Wow.
But well over half of those are actually based in Europe.
Right.
Now,
okay.
So that's a good symptom of where possibly actually the interest is being driven from.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is good news.
Fantastic.
Second thing is that we run regular briefings, you know, for people in the public sector, national governments, European Commission, and the last two we've run around ODF, and we have basically had four houses both times. So we've invited people from national governments to talk about, you know, the practicalities of it and who's doing what. And the positive thing is just how much interest there is in this. So it's not something that's just a technical discussion.
Cool. Now, excellent. I mean, there's a thought that I had. ODF does level the playing field from the point of view of Linux advocates and the point of view of the Open Office team and things like that. But ordinary users surely couldn't care less.
That's not
really
true.
I mean, do people actually think, it's much better now because my document's got an ODF extension? Surely it's just a platform on which we can say, look, and now you can move to Linux or move away from Microsoft Word. But what's going to compel people to want to move away other than not paying for Word?
The fact they can interchange.
I think you're making a fair point, and I think that's true, is it not, for anything that's come out of open source. The reason why products have been successful like Firefox is because it's done the job. It might be cheaper, but you build up a groundswell. So obviously ODF is not a product, but we've got products that are going to be built on it and using it. But the thing that it's all about actually is about choice. And the thing about document formats, it is choice in one of the most critical areas. And the thing I think that probably be for governments has been less on the technical interoperability, but more some of the potentially the political and legal issues. So, you know, one of the things I heard actually at our briefings last week was concerns at a national government level, which basically says, well, look, if, you know, unless we get to grip with this, we could very easily be in a position in 5-10 years' times where we will have lost some of our heritage data. And that might sound fairly fanciful, but, you know, let's suppose it was a legal case and somebody was suing a company and it needed to go back 10 years for, let's say, fraud data. Well, maybe that data is not available anymore. So suddenly, I think some of the governments have woken up to this as a potential big big issue and potentially have, you know, have legal implications as much as technical implications.
Yeah, I guess.
So, but it is the first rung of the ladder. Yeah. I absolutely agree with what you've been saying.
Is it, but in, you know, furthering that on, is it a case that governments and administrations in Europe, are they actually, is there a consideration there, or is it a real kind of long battle to get some kind of acceptance? Or,
I think it's a long battle, Jono, no question. I think, however, what we saw last year, it was Massachusetts that made everybody sit up and take notice of it, because clearly it was bucking the trend. And what's more, their reasons for doing it were based on very sound business issues and strategic issues rather than, you know, any technical points. The Belgian announcement recently has probably been the one that's created the most equivalent amount of interest, because they've just gone that extra step. Other countries like Denmark have gone very, very strong on standards, but have yet to make any formal statement on ODF. Other governments, like the French government, at the minute are out for comments, but the indications are that we will see a strong support from ODF there.
Yeah, it's exciting.
At the minute, well, the other countries are really nowhere in comparison, but as I said, I think there's a lot of interest now to see what should follow.
Thanks, Graham.
Excellent stuff. I mean, that's fantastic. So where do we find out more about Open Forum Europe?
Well, there's our website, which is openforumeurope.org, all one word. So very easy to find. You can find out a lot more about it from there, and if you want to speak to any of us, then that will give you the contact details.
And I suppose Excellent. The other thing we need to extol is the Open Source Academy, which is particularly useful for our UK.
Yeah, indeed, anybody in the public sector, really. We've been working hard on that. It's something that was funded by what was then the Office of the Deputy Prime Minister, so we were just one consortium member, but there's a lot of interest there, and that's opensourceacademy.gov.uk.
Right. Fantastic. Cool. Well, thanks very much for coming on the show. Keep up the great work, Graham, and we'll speak to you soon.
Bye, cheers.
Bye. Cheers, then.
Bye. Cheers.
Okay, new segment then.
Oh, yeah.
No way. We like new segments, and you're going to love this one.
This is true Lug Radio spirit.
This is true Lug Radio spirit. It's called Open Source Pass the Parcel.
Yep.
Now, Ack, like my dad, is going to make me explain the rules.
So you have to explain the rules.
So there's going to be some music, right?
Rules help control the fun.
Okay. So there's going to be some music. We're going to pass an object between us. When the music stops, the person who's holding the package gets to ask a question, hopefully open source related, and the other three have to give, and this is key, a short answer. The music then starts and the parcel gets passed on.
Now, here's the interesting...
One to talk, once again, language. Here's the thing, right? With normal pass the parcel, once you get to the whatever's inside it, the game ends. When does this game end?
When the four of us have asked that... Well, no. When
round one finishes when we've all had a turn, I suppose, and then we can...
Hang on. It's random when it stops. How will we know that we
That's right. No, it is random, yeah.
You know, maliciously done by John O'Baker.
Come on, I'm excited. Let's go.
The magic button of doom. Okay, we're ready.
We've got fantastic music for this, so here we go.
Prepare yourselves to pass the parcel.
Oh, yeah.
Get in.
Let's go.
Let's pass.
It's never going to stop on you, though, is it?
Stop dancing.
Okay, I'm actually, strangely, the first person. Okay, if we didn't have Tux as a mascot, what would we have?
Matthew P. Ravel.
Well, I'm wearing a Matthew P. Ravel mascot.
That's quite small.
That'd be cool, though.
I'm wearing an Open Suzy t-shirt, so, and the gecko is quite nice.
The gecko, right? Okay.
I'd like to have some kind of squirrel.
Donkey.
Donkey.
Okay. And I'd like Linus Torvalds' severed head.
Hey! Are you ready, Matt? It's coming your way.
Are you ready? Here we go.
Go!
Oh, I thought it stopped then.
It's one of those false moments, isn't it? I get that.
You can't pass it to me again.
Damn, I thought I was going to... It's like the opposite of real pass pass, where everyone sort of holds onto things. Yeah. I don't want to ask a question.
I haven't got a question yet.
Okay, my question is, who has the stupidest open source beard?
John O'Bacon.
Is that directing at John O or John O'Bacon as your answer?
Stuart Langridge.
Mad Dog Hall.
I say... Shimmy's beard, definitely John O.
Stupidest beard in the whole open source community. Now there's an accolade.
Thank you.
Are we ready?
Play on.
Oh, wait for it.
Wait for it.
Take the damn pass.
Nice under the left passing the bus.
It's the cable modem of doom.
It's one of those things which is not all that funny on the radio.
Well, hopefully they'll see it again soon.
Right.
Mr. Revell.
Here's my question. If you weren't into free software and open source, what would you be doing with your time?
Butcher.
Masturbating.
I'd be teaching guitar lessons.
Oh. Thanks for the one serious answer.
I think I'd be a chemistry teacher or something. Crap.
Really?
Sorry.
And these are the chemicals that make ginger.
There is no chemical.
Fouled.
Doctor.
Right. That's not a hobby exactly, is
doctor
it?
Of love.
You the love doctor.
Right, let's carry
on. Change the music. Are you ready?
Oh, you can't change it.
I think he was ending that one.
All right.
Hey, my favorite. Hey. Welcome to Love Radio!
Oh, God!
We're gonna make you scream like a pig!
Take for them, Mercury!
Oh, yeah!
Oh, bam!
Mr. Bacon!
It's great to pick bacon.
Suffer! Don't think you're getting out of having a cat.
Supposed to have thought of a question already.
But I can't think of a question.
Right, you've got to do a forfeit then.
Forfeit!
And the forfeit is...
Go and get the bucket.
Right, press play and have another
if
go.
This...
Oh, here we go.
If there's one person in this room who's going to go to prison for crimes against humanity, who's it going to be?
Ack. It will be Ack who goes to prison.
It'll be Jono for bum crimes against humanity.
Thank you. Ravel. Who's most likely to be a criminal?
You, by association.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Bald, did you answer?
Yeah, I said I.
Is it me, the boss? Right, thanks a lot.
Clearly.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. I'm ready.
Oh, shit.
The game's over.
I know, straight on.
It's like a Benny Hill movie in there.
Oh,
is it drawn?
Someone needs to call it.
It's
I'll get it.
Bradshaw.
Worst open source book you've ever bought?
I have no idea.
I can't remember the title of this book.
Shut the fuck up. Linux desktop hacks, apart from the hack about whatever it was that I did.
And the one about email was brilliant.
The Ubuntu book.
Yeah.
Okay. You see, we can't name any of Jono's books because he's never written a book on his own.
Ah. No time for digs. Worst open source book. Come on, quick. Let me get the music back on.
Oh, la 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 la.
Programming Python for me. I know I'm not supposed to ask my own question, but...
You bought that?
Yeah. It was shit.
The O'Reilly C book. Can't remember what it is. Right. With the donkey or whatever it is on the
show. Donkey.
Java in a nutshell.
Right.
It's probably quite useful.
Matthew
book,
P. Revell, worst open source book?
I genuinely don't know, mate.
They've all been good, yeah?
We're going to have two more goes, by the way.
All right, then.
You ready? I'll have to pass.
Okay.
Then pass the parcel.
Is a different tune.
Hey, mama!
Oh, yeah! Which way's it gonna go?
I feel like I should kind of put on black glasses and pass it to you under the table and stuff.
Oh, yeah! Oh, see you, brother.
Harsh. Muncher.
Matt, what is your question?
Right, if you weren't with your current partner...
Yeah.
Not very open source related.
If you had a partner, which woman from open source would you like to most share your intimate time with because you could share free software love?
Oh,
fated.
Or man, if you're a girl, you know, I mean, basically, depending
on
that way.
Janita.
Damien Sandra's
girlfriend. Damien Sandra's wife.
In that case, you've left me no choice. So I'm going to have to pick Miguel de Garza's wife.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. This doesn't seem to be working out how I imagine. I was meaning on terms of, you know, being able to share...
So was I.
Some loving.
Yeah, I was thinking exactly the same thing.
You know, mind space.
Just picking, you know, really attractive, person. Janita jumps to my mind.
I wasn't thinking attractiveness. I was thinking more, you know.
I am disturbed that everyone appears to have already thought up their answer to this question.
Well, there's one silent man.
Bald man.
No, I've already answered.
Who?
What?
Being as there aren't that many open source women around, I'm going to say fated. Never fated. Seen her before.
You see, Ed's heart got broken
yeah,
in two.
Yeah, she broke my heart. But I forgive her.
This is fated from the IRC channel, yeah?
Right.
Our IRC
it's probably channel. Probably a man with a great big beard or something, for all we know.
Dave, fate.
I come from Singapore, you know.
The nose.
Here we go.
Oh, here we go.
Last time round, let's pass that parcel.
What's this?
Hey. Can you stop pressing that damn button?
Open source evangelist, ask us an open source question.
If you had to pick, if you weren't with your current partner and you had to pick a man from the open source community, who would it be?
It would be you, that's fucking sure.
For me it'd be Shuttleworth because he's minted.
Like you shallow bastard.
Well look, if I've got to be with a man, I might as well get something out of it.
Well, you get a lot out of it, Matt.
Maybe I should pick Edward Hervey, because he fixed Gene Onlin bugs for Jacosha.
See, look, you're getting something out
no,
of it.
No, we want
well.
Him to keep fixing bugs for Jacosha.
Yeah. Instead of spending time with the Doctor of Love.
Oh, that's eight. Yeah. The Love Doctor.
Aaron Bockover, because he blocked your world of metal. And it's got to be worth a shag just for that.
Thanks, by the way.
That's it.
Shall we done? Shall
I? Really?
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah, we're done. What we'll do, though, for the pleasure of the listeners...
This will be repeated.
We'll fade out with the music that we started with.
Woo!
Keep talking while I get it.
Explain.
Well, yeah, right, so hopefully, yeah, we are going to repeat this at the fantastic Love Radio Live! Which is how many days as we record? Like ten days.
10 days from...
Matt just smacked his elbow.
10 days from when we record?
Which serves him right, incidentally, for smashing me over the head with a drumstick earlier.
Sorry.
You see how the karma works?
Get ready to pass some parcels. Maybe with a prize in it. So,
play along at home.
We'll see you in the next section.
May.
Chin. Beard. Chin.
Anger, bald, ginger and beard. Appearing exclusively in Wolverhampton on the 22nd and 23rd of July.
This is supposed to be fading out, you know.
Beard.
It just keeps going.
I love my beard.
Chin.
Oh,
chin.
Oh, I love my chin. Beard.
Oh, my beard.
Turn your stupid beard. Mac off. God's sake, stop it.
It's Monday, or possibly it's Tuesday, or possibly Wednesday, or possibly Thursday.
Or possibly 2007.
Well, I'm assuming people listened to this roughly when it came out. The important point is if you are listening to this roughly when it came out, then this Saturday...
Oh my God, what is it?
What is it? What is it?
Nothing on the telly.
World Cup's over.
I'm not going to the doctors this weekend.
It's Love Radio Live!
Love
Radio Live 2006, this Saturday.
Saturday
the 22nd and Sunday the 23rd of July.
It's a two-day event, remember? You must remember that.
It's going to be awesome. So,
a four-day event for some people.
We need to go through all of the bits and pieces, make sure that everyone's fully queued up with what's going on.
Okay.
This is the last time. Shall we
start off with a Friday?
Should we start with a Friday? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So, Friday night, we're going to be meeting up for some
pre-Lug Radio drinks.
Yep, that's pre, not free.
Yes.
Oh, no, not free as in beer.
Yep. Now, what we expect is for people to buy us drinks, all right?
Let's not
beat around the bush. Buy us a pint.
We expect to turn up at about 8 o'clock, which is when we're going to turn... Well, that's when everyone's expected to turn up.
So petals should be thrown at our feet.
We expect, at the Hogshead in Wolverhampton, we expect there to be a great big red carpet as the, as the stars of the event show up.
We are going to be... We're not going to be arriving in that stretch limo, aren't we?
It disturbs me to think that if they put down a red carpet in the Hogshead in Wolverhampton, someone would steal it before we got there.
It's actually one of the better pubs.
It's Carl Latimer coming.
Someone would steal it. It's got
good beers. It's got a beer garden.
Let's be absolutely clear. We'd like to meet up with everybody in the beer garden.
Yes,
so everyone knows where to
go.
If you've not been to Radio Live, then go to the beer garden, look for some odd-looking people. they're the LaGrange community.
Anyone who looks like a gimp or anyone with a laptop.
Look for a higher than normal population of beards. It's usually a fair guess.
T-fowl heads.
Maybe if we get it right, someone will have the Chinny Raccoon on a flag.
Right.
Now, that would be great.
That would be superb.
That would be brilliant. A flag with a raccoon on there.
So that's the Friday pre-drinks.
Anyway, yes. Well, so that's going to be good.
Yeah. So on the Saturday, of course, it kicks off.
Yep. The students' union.
10:30 in the morning, but you probably want to arrive a bit before that, so you get in for 10:30.
Now, this is the way the tickets are going to work. What I'm going to do...
Yeah, the way it works is you come up, you give us money, and we let you in.
Sorry, yeah.
And if you haven't applied for your concession, it's still not too late, technically.
No, it isn't.
No?
No.
You can apply for your concession.
We can make fun of you at Lug Radio Live and Unleashed.
Just get a ticket and show up. We don't really care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, right?
I have to have applied, and we will give people a list of people who apply. So don't just tell them, I applied for a concession when you didn't.
You get charged double if you do that, by the way.
Yeah. But just show up anyway.
I just want to make two things clear about prepaying tickets, right, and concessions. One is that this year we will have a list of people's names who've bought a ticket prepay. I'll be emailing everyone, but just in case you didn't get the email, you need to bring ID with you that just says who you are, because I think that's the easiest way to get people in.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. So that's fine. So bring your ID. You'll probably
maybe
have
a retina scan, a recent one,
sperm sample, whatever.
The other thing, not the sperm sample.
No. The other thing is that if you come in and paint on the door, sorry, there are no concessions. It's just as simple as that. It's a fiver, or you don't get him.
Yeah, regardless. Sorry. No money off for students. No money off if you meant to send us a concession email and forgot.
Yep.
Unlucky. If you come on the door, it's a fight.
You're going to have to pay that whole extra £2, I'm afraid. Deal with it.
Yeah. There won't be any negotiations because...
And that's for 2 days, that £5, by the way. It's not £5 a day,
it's £5 for 2 days.
And it's university staff on the door, so, you know, they won't...
They ain't going to take no shit.
Right, they don't give a shit about how cool your open source project was. Yeah. So we've told them, everybody comes in, take a fiver off.
So we know it's going to be a cool event. Let's have a quick run through the...
Yes. Read the old speakers.
Are you ready?
Here we go.
So, for the Saturday and the Sunday, we have the following people. We've got the Lug Radio team. We're going to be introducing.
That's us, introducing it.
Then we're going to have, of course, Sarah Yoon from Sony.
If she turns up.
Stephen Lamb from Microsoft is going to talk about security.
If he doesn't provide.
We're going to have the Mass Debate, some open source celebrities.
Who's going to be on that?
Don't know yet. Michael Meeks from Novell is going to talk about Open Office.
Oh, he's a nice chap.
We've got Simon Phipps from
Sony.
Fippo the Clown.
Of course, we're going to have Lug Radio Live and Unleash. More on that later.
Of course, yes.
Absolutely.
Simon Willison is going to talk about Django.
That's the next day.
He's quite small.
Oh, we're going through everything, mate. We're going through
really?
Everything.
Yes. Oh, okay.
We're going to have Mark Shuttleworth from Canonical.
Who?
We're going to have the Hour of Power, lots of short demos, cool things. Mirko Muller's going to be there demoing low fat. Mike Hearn is going to talk about auto package. The Lug Radio team are going to give you a goodbye at some point.
Draw.
Lots of lightning talks. Lots of lightning talks as I press the button for the music again.
Yeah, we know. We have many, 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 many lightning talks.
Such as Christian Schaller.
In the bedroom.
Who gets no music by the sounds of it.
He gets no music, so Jono presses rewind and then presses play again.
It's worth noting the names of the two lightning talk stages.
There we go. We've got the beard and the chin room.
Yep. Absolutely.
So we've got Christian Schaller talking about G-Streamer.
In the beard room.
Tom Steinberg from My Society and Pledge Bank.
Mirko Muller, low fat.
We have indeed. We've got Martin Vogel
Rice
Rosenthal. From the BBC Action Network. Our friend and yours, Danny O'Brien.
From NTK.
Des Burley from Mills and Reeve is going to talk about... this is going to be interesting. He's going to talk about the legal aspects of open source.
I imagine he's going to stand there with Bill Beard going, I'm Des Burley!
Play darts for a living.
We've got Matthew the Block from Mike Mark.
The Mighty Matt Block, who is actually a sponsor of the event.
Good man.
Talking about virtualisation.
We're going to have Ian Lynch.
Wasn't he Prime Minister of One?
Open Document. Bruno Board talking about how much we swear.
Bruno!
And in the chin room.
We're going to have John Lynch.
Oh, yeah. Fuck off, Bruno, by the way. I forgot that. We need to jack the quotient up a bit.
No, you don't fucking do that. That's fucking
so
cheating.
So, in the other room, we're going to have John Lynch from Everybody Loves Eric Raymond.
And Matthew Garrett.
Matthew Garrett.
Probably bringing his filthy girlfriend with him.
Less of that. Please. Barbie from Message Labs. We've got Alex Hudson from the Hula Project.
Yep. Gareth Boker from the Free Software Foundation Europe.
Jonathan Riddell, who likes to take a Piddell from KD4.
And who's the Elliot Smith bloke then?
Elliot Smith from Open Advantage.
He's a kid from ET.
To be arranged.
So let's screw the music because there's repeating loads of times. This is going to stop any second. It doesn't stop there, people. We've got Gervais, Jervis Markham from Mozilla coming to talk about how to destroy the free software movement.
So good, thanks a lot for that, Jervis.
Ewan Spence, our favourite Scottish nutter, is coming down to talk about Zen and the art of podcasting.
Yeah. All three
Scott,
shot as
Scott,
well.
Scott James Remnant, three shot Remnant, our microphone monkey from last year.
We have Bilal.
He's done well since that last Log Radio Live, hasn't he?
He has. He's working for Canonical, and he's going to be talking about Edgy, the next Ubuntu release.
What a shit name that is. Anyway, we've got Bilal from Hacker Voice Radio down.
Is he British then?
Yep.
He sounds like a wrestler.
Sounds like he's from hell.
Bill Thompson from the BBC.
BBC!
Steve Coast from OpenStreetMap. Edmund Hervey. We love Edmund Hervey.
From Fluendo, who's going to talk about and demo Pity V.
Paul Cooper, my boss from
Is that still to be arranged, by the way?
No, he's doing simplicity and open source. It sounds like quite an interesting talk, actually. Hugh Lyons talking about grid computing. We're going to have
Hugh Lyons Seahouse.
The most American man ever, Ted Hager. We love Ted Hager.
The mighty and rather gutted at the moment, Bastion. Sierra, talking about Neymar.
Why is he gutted?
Because he's got a Sierra.
Because he's French and France lost the World Cup. So.
And he doesn't
He must be absolutely crushed, the poor bug. Well, I really feel for him.
I'm sure he did.
Richard Moore from IBM. Jonathan Haslam talking about D-Trace. Michael Dominic talking about Diva. Robert Taylor talking about Farsight. The women of the Log Radio community, Goodwin, Jen Phillips, and AIDS Girlfriend,
and
talking
that really
about
really is all
source.
Of the women in the open source community, all there.
Sarah Painter, or whatever her name is, she's in it as well.
And Seb Payne talking about iPhone.
Yeah.
There's another woman, yeah.
Seb Payne's on,
Seb Payne's
3:30.
Not a woman.
Hello, I'm Seb Payne.
Hello.
You're looking at my bra.
Yeah, he's managed to get some time off school to come and do that. And then we've got some buffs.
Oh, buff-tastic.
We've got open source CRM, with Enterprise Groupware server. So if you're interested in CRM and open source hacking, go along to
that. What's that buff all about then?
It's about Jacosha.
Really?
Which will be released on the day of Log Radio Live.
And we're going to use it on the day.
Hopefully. Maybe. iFolder is another buff. We've got Hardware Hacking Show and Tell that Pepsi Man, the guy who hacks on DS Linux, is going to be doing.
Matt, you got Susie buff to do as well.
We've got Brother Hager doing Sousa buff, Pearl User Groups buff with Barbie, Ruby on Rails in Actuality, which is Elliot's buff, Hashlog Radio Meet and Greet, Ubuntu Accessibility. There's going to be a lugdog.uk if you want to know about UK Linux user groups. Go along to that. How to contribute to open source buff and an Ubuntu users buff.
But that's not all, is it?
No, that's not all. I mean, importantly, on the buffs front, we've got two buff areas at the moment, but there is actually a third buff area
which is completely free at the moment.
So you can sign up for that on the day. If you want to run a buff, just come along and you'll be able to run one on the day in buff stage 3.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes,
excellent.
It's going to be great, and we've already got a couple of people who are interested in doing some.
Yeah, we have. Yep. Yep.
Now here's
the exciting
bit.
So much there already.
The big blue room.
This is all new to.
I need to measure up again, actually.
Oh, we've heard this one before, haven't we?
Oh, we have.
The exhibition.
Blue Note Matt is back.
So, confirmed exhibitors. We'll just fire through this. We've got Ubuntu, Bytemark, Open Solaris, UK Linux, KDE and Kubuntu, Inkscape, Tux Games, Clockwork Software, Myth TV. Everybody loves Eric Raymond, the OpenCD, Novell, TurboCache.
How are we going to fit them all in, by the way?
I don't know. The Midlands Open Source Technology Centre, Enterprise Groupware Server, CentOS, Joomla, Open Document Fellowship, O'Reilly, Fedora, Fluendo, Debian, Creative Commons, Gnome,
basically everyone,
Linspire,
right?
Linspire, Free Software Foundation Europe, Shadowcat Systems, and Playboy.
I can't think of anyone else. Yeah. I think everyone's coming.
It's just brilliant.
Mandriva aren't there.
Gutted.
The exhibition's going to be enormous. The best thing about it is it's an enormous exhibition in quite a small room.
That's entertaining.
I may have overbooked.
No, we'll be fine. Don't worry about it. We'll just make the Debian people not have six frigging tables like they did last year.
It's going to be a tremendous event. There's loads going on. We've got a party on the Saturday night. DJ.
We have. Oh,
there will be much
alcoholic
thing about
abuse.
The party.
If you don't want to rock DJ at the party, then we might do a pub quiz as well. Who knows? But the main thing to say, as you're about to point to me at Alakalaka, was that if you want to have your request played by the DJ, he can't take iPods or anything like that, or iRivers. So what he needs to do is burn your... Because they literally don't have the inputs.
They're about
to get it all ripped out and put some new stuff in. But anyway, that's another story for another time. What you need to do is burn your song onto a CDR and bring it along. Now, the reason I say burn it onto a CDR is A, if it gets lost, you won't cry. B, if you hand it to the dude and he says what track it is, you say, stick it in, it's one track.
Yep.
You know, so...
And C, Ewan Spencer's going to be there, so no iPod is safe.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Basically, he'll play whatever you want, but, you know, remember, there
within
will be
reason.
Another few hundred people there, so let's
yeah,
let's be sensible about this, people. Well, those Star Trek in by the firm.
Oh, that'd be great. So, just to make it clear, I mean, let's
yeah,
hear
seriously,
it.
Yeah.
Just to make it clear, the DJ that we're talking about, it's for the room that the actual event is held in.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're not going to get chucked out. We're not going elsewhere. It's that room
that we're
in.
Yeah,
we've got
yeah.
the room for the whole weekend to do
basically,
with that.
Basically, whatever
bar
way
and everything.
Yeah, whatever method we come up with to stamp your hand or whatever will be good on the door for...
I thought we'd get like a poker and put it in some fire.
Yeah.
And if people want to come in, you know, they just get branded.
See, we just scar them for life. Yeah, that's a great idea.
I'm all about the branding, me.
We want to see some commitment, some quick commitment from you.
Yeah, red hot potatoes.
Yeah. We got
Pickwicks.
We got to stress as well that there's a lot of people staying in hotels for Look Radio Live. So the Saturday night looks like there's going to be loads of people there. It's going to be good. It's going to be a great event. We're all going to have a good time.
If you haven't booked your hotel, really get a move on.
Yes, go to lookradio.org. /live/2006 and click on the accommodation link. We've got a special deal, last minute thing with the student union, which is literally spitting distance from the venue, so you can walk to the venue. What you need to do is you need to go to the accommodation page and follow the instructions. You just need to sign a form and send it off to them. You can fax it to them, but there's other hotels in Wolverhampton. So
the student
union is something like £25 a night, so it's
superb,
cheaper than all the people who booked in hotels. Sorry about that, guys.
And
but
also,
they get breakfast. And
yeah,
hotels.
I mean, they
swimming pools.
They get hotel treatment, but
and
also
special drinks.
Also, keep on pimping it. You know, we've got a week until Look Radio Live. Just keep on going because we really want this to be the best Look Radio Live there has ever been.
Basically, we've got some great people talking and exhibiting
really
everything.
Have packed it this year.
Bring your mates, even if they're not into Linux or open source. Just bring them.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be tremendous. So. We'll see you at Look Radio.
We will see you there.
We'll see you on Saturday.
Oh, yes. Fantastic. It's going to be good.
Well, it's the end of the show. It's time for some emails. Now, we haven't done emails for quite a while because four shows.
We've had a big pile of them.
So we've got a horrific amount of emails.
Amazing amount
and
of emails.
And no voicemails. Yeah.
And we want to, just to say, we read every single one of them. So do keep sending them in.
We do read every one of them, but we don't read every one of them out.
Yes, yes. Yeah. We've got
keep sending them in.
Please do keep sending them.
And actually, it'd be interesting to hear from listeners if you would like the voicemail facility to be
switched back on,
reintroduced. We found out that it's dead.
They need some kind of voice specialist.
Bold A. Rune. Start it
off. Old friend, Kynan Dent from Australia. Now, you might remember him.
Mine's Paul Hogan.
He's asking for an anti-concession request.
He's got an anti's coming.
No. He starts off with, G'day, stroke, dear exalted sirs.
Oh, so he translated.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
And he says, I wasn't sure if I was going to be in the country for LRL 2006, but without a valid passport, my shovels and I can't leave. So here we still are.
Now,
this is the guy, if you remember, he won the furthest travel distance award. And he's got, remember last year at Look Radio Live?
Yeah.
And the shovel reference was when he was telling us about
neighbours.
Incidentally, he said that was about 18, they were about 18 months ahead.
We
so
still
6 months
up.
From now, everyone dies in a shovel-related murder in Neighbours. Get ready.
Anyway, he goes on to say that he's booked his hotel room for the 22nd.
Awesome.
He'd like to register for the event itself. He's feeling a little bit of guilt, though, because... last year, apparently, he won through somewhat false pretenses. That's right. He manipulated the truth, he says. A wee smidgen. He reckons it's convict genes that made him do it. Probably quite right.
Beat us to it there. Really.
Although he did take part in international travel, it wasn't just to go to Look Radio Live.
We did kind of know that.
Yeah, we did know. But it's nice. He's offering to pay us £8 this year. That's the £3 back or the £2 back, whatever. Yeah. Anyway,
that's not your strong point.
It is very much so my strong point.
I see your theory and we appreciate the gesture, but I'm not sure the PayPal thing's geared up to cope with that.
Well,
so
just get buy
us all
he's
a
got
pint.
Some extra news. He said, on the plus side, he will be bringing a small stuffed tux with a desk shovel and his lovely girlfriend.
Fantastic.
Brackets.
Is she allowed in the country?
Brackets. Who's knockers, he hopes he's got the terminology correct, he's not going to comment on because she's standing right behind him, but suffice to say,
nice.
So it'll be good to see Kynan again.
You are Benny Hill.
Conan. As in the barbarian.
K-Y-N-A-N.
Well,
Aussie from dude Australian. From last year who won
what
the
kind of Conan the Convict?
Conan the Australian.
Conan the Barbarian.
And now then, are we going to think of clockwise or anti-clockwise?
Slipping the shrimp on the barbarian.
Let's go clockwise.
Oh, to me.
Mix it up.
We've got an email from Ryan Pavlik, who's the Abbey Word Win 32 guy.
Yes.
Who writes him to say, thank you for mentioning Abbey Word's collaboration feature, except you said it was built on LibObby, which it isn't.
So yet again, you were wrong.
Yeah, again, I was wrong. Right? Yeah. And he writes him to correct us. They've written their own collaborative thing called Abbey Collab, which actually works over Jabber. Which would be good. I mean, it says all you need is two Jabber accounts on some server, one for each editor, which sounds like a pain in the arse to me, because you've got to go and set up a Jabber account in order to collaborate.
That's so easy to do, by the way.
But, you know, nonetheless, he says, drop by #AbbeyWord if you want some help building the new Abbey Word stuff with collaborative
and fixing
things.
All of your RTFs that we just screwed up for you.
I have to say, Abbey Word ate a load of my RTFs, so thanks a lot for that, guys. But I suspect it's going to get better.
What wasn't read the fucking? Is that an RTF? What do you read?
Rich text format.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
He says, on the subject of creating documentation, we have a Google Summer of Code contributor who's been working on the project for a while, and he's recently overhauled and greatly improved the DocBook import and export support.
Wicked.
And there's a lot of cool stuff coming up, he says, in the 2.5 series and the upcoming 2.6 release. Thanks for mentioning Abbey Word. It's a great project that I strongly believe in. I'm looking forward to the release of 2.6, which will feature this great new collaboration tech.
Awesome. Fantastic. Cool.
Yep, good work, the Abbey Word guys. And we're sorry we got it wrong. But,
you're sorry you got it wrong.
No, I'm sorry I got it wrong. I'm sorry none of these three knew enough to correct me. But yes, Abbey Collab should be pretty cool. But
we didn't. I thought LibObby was those people who did that thing about the bypass in the JCB. I'm going down the bypass.
I'm having a top fun. Yeah.
Jono, moving swiftly on.
But seriously, Abbey Word guys, why don't you come on for an interview?
Yes. We'll sort something out.
Because we haven't asked, I suspect.
Let's start by asking them.
We need to talk some Abbey Word.
We've had an email.
Abbey Word guys, come to Lug Radio Live. Yes. Tell
Although
us about Abbey Word.
Figuera was in season one.
We could write them an invite in Microsoft Word doc format, and if they can open it, then they can come on.
Yeah. Harsh. We've had an email for another Australian. This is from Piano. Peer War. Jeff Waugh's other half.
What is she good for?
Ask Jeff.
Software Freedom Games.
Oh, right.
She caught up with me and I saying and she asked about this thing called Software Freedom Day, and she asked, actually,
right.
and she said, she just dropped his name, and she said, I spoke to John on IRC, asking him whether you'd be interested in helping to judge a competition about Software Freedom Day. He said it would be cool, so below is an announcement for the competition. I'll be sending this out today, and it would be great to have it included in your next show, which this is. I'd be happy to come onto the show and talk about it if that'd be useful, which you will be invited to come on the show.
But not this season.
And it will be useful. Now, because we finish on the next show, which is recorded at Lug Radio Live, that's the last show in the season.
Oh, shit, that's coming up soon, isn't it?
So what we're going to do is we're going to kick off season four talking about Software Freedom Day, because we're going to start season four.
But if you're really keen and you really want to know what it is, where do you go?
Softwarefreedomday.org.
Yep.
You're guessing.
Yep, and we'll be judging competition.
Yeah, so it's interesting. We'll give you a lot more details in season four, so keep your fingers and toes and everything.
Or maybe your ears.
One more for the road.
Keep your fingers peeled. Okay.
Okay.
Shut up and get on with it.
I am the music man. Right, Carl the Angry Angel Southern has emailed us with an email entitled Draining the Pigskin. He says, since Jono asked on the forums, here's my special story about draining the pigskin. I don't remember you asking about that.
Some people asked on the forums what this whole old pigskin business was about. So I explained and I said, you know, feel free to send in your pigskin stories.
Thank you. I just about managed to repress the memory of reading that post and now it's all come flooding back.
Carl says, I was out on the piss with a couple of mates a few years back and we ended up in a trendy pub in Bath. As you tend to, when you drink a lot of the finest eyesight degrading beer available, I needed to take a piss. Now, before I continue, I'd like to point out that this was not a gay bar. Not that there'd be anything wrong with that.
Want to take upon you to the gay bar.
The radio supports all lifestyle choices, remember?
It's not a choice, it's a way you want. Upon walking into the men's box, I was confronted with full-length wall-to-wall mirrors. Sounds like your toilet.
Oh, thank you.
Everywhere.
No, they're just on the ceiling in his toilet.
Even on the back of the door. As you can imagine, there was just a sea of blokes and their penises.
Lots of pigskin training going on then.
Like some horror movie.
It could have just been one guy having horrific. A piss and loads, yeah. loads of reflection.
Maybe like it's a man with a goldfish. It must be like some kind of Japanese tentacle porn going on.
He says, it's like a horror movie or an X-rated Village People video. I was so shocked by the experience, I don't remember if I've ever been back to the place since. So it's not that he hasn't, he just doesn't remember if he has. In fact, I think this original choice of decor made the place so popular that it was shortly revisited by the orange sunglassed, kilt-wearing Mac Apple user that probably users. Designed it. Hopefully that gave you some laughs or potentially some blackmail material for the future. Carl.
Both, thank
Wicked.
You.
Nice, we'll bear that in mind. Thank
thoughts
you
with you, Carl.
Yes.
Who's nice next? One. Is it me?
Oh, well, no, it's me.
It's me. Yeah. Carl de Roon.
Indeed they are. iFolder on Ubuntu, Paul Yernis writes in. And he said, simple question. Why is it so fucking hard to get iFolder to work on Ubuntu? There are no devs, and building from source is near impossible. The Ubuntu iFolder wiki sucks balls. Fucking chin, indeed. Well, Paul, I think I'll field these questions with. I've got 2 points to make. First of all, use an RPM-based distro. You'll be fine.
Such as the RPM-based distro that you run in your little laptop.
CentOS runs iFolder fine.
Oh, no, that's Ubuntu.
NeuraCore 5 runs it fine.
Just so I understand this correctly, you can take an RPM for any distro and it'll run on any RPM-based distro.
I'm just listing the distros that I've tried it on personally that it works on, and that's 2 out of 2.
Fucking
second thing is, come to Lug Radio Live and ask the iFolder guys why it doesn't work.
Sepian.
Yep.
Hi, man.
Why actually does he have two iFolder?
There's an iFolder exhibition standard, there's an iFolder both, and there's an iFolder talk, and apparently Seb Payne is doing them all at the same time. So
by the way, guess where Paul comes from?
Where?
Australia.
Australia. This is an Australian theme tonight. Australian
I hear theme. We're big down under.
It's all true, ladies. It's all true.
Drew McClellan's spikiest head man in the world has written in to give the bald man a kicking.
Yeah, whatever.
We like that.
It has not escaped the attention of the people of the internet. it's the internet's Drew McClellan who's written in here to say, it's not escaped the attention of the people of the internet that after persistently slagging off Macs and their orange sunglass-wearing kilt-clad owners for their penchant for attractive graphical effects and so-called eye candy, the bald appears to have wet his pants over XGL. And I'll be honest with you, he's not wrong here.
XGL.
Mr. Bloody Macs, it's all eye candy. Oh, XGL, shiny.
XGL is fucking amazing.
He says XGL is superb, but it's brilliant to see this kind of technology make it to the Linux desktop and to actually be pretty good. Hurrah.
Uh-huh.
Not to take away from that at all, but it's precisely the sort of thing Mac users have been enjoying for some time, and that's persistently earned them disdain from the bald.
Okay.
Capital T, capital B. In the internet, we call this hypocrisy.
Okay. Right.
Bald. Dislike Macs for their proprietary OS, fine, that's only fair.
Mm-hmm.
But if enjoying eye candy is worthy of such criticism, why run XGL? Speak your truth.
My
man.
Point is, the Mac is all eye candy, no depth. Whereas Linux is, you've got the depth, and now we've got a bit of candy as well, so you've got the best of both worlds. It's not all about a millimetre deep operating system.
Oh, backpedal.
Not at all. It's still
I imagine some people will disagree.
Well, there you go.
I have a fucking Mac experience this week.
Anyone else out there who thinks that the bald is a raging hypocrite?
Not at all.
Do feel free to write in and tell him why he's
wrong. Lots of things, and it can do candy as well, whereas a Mac can just do candy.
Well, there you go. You've now heard his answer.
My operating system can't do eye candy because I don't have the graphics.
We, As you chaps know, because you know you're on Lug Radio, we've been asking for Lug Radio Community Hero nominations, and
we've had quite a few.
We've had an awful lot. So whoever you think has been a real testament to the community, let us know. So
a
we
real
can,
testicle in the community,
real a real bollock in the community. We can award this saviour of Lug Radio
with the open conga line.
With the open conga line, which the official Lug Radio stalker Yonkeltron made.
Since he went to university, he has disappeared.
Really? Yeah, maybe he's in someone's boots. Seeing girls
maybe he's busy doing his degree.
Possibly. Anyway, we've had a... Now,
I never went to university. I don't understand such things. Anyway, sorry, John.
We've had a number of these nomination emails, and we've decided we're not going to read out the nominations on the show.
You have to come to Live Radio Live to find out.
We've had one particular nomination email that was very funny and interesting. So I'm going to read it out, and I'm going to bleep out the person who...
What kind of technology are you going to use to do that?
It's called voice.
Voice over voice.
Voice over Mike.
And that wasn't a person called Mike before anyone gets confused. Hello, large gents. Hello, my name is Beep, and I'm 5. It says, you know my daddy. I call him Beep. But he tells me that you know him as Beep. I don't know why you don't just call him Daddy like I do. My little sister Jenny, she's 2, calls him Daddy too. And then you beep then. So it must be right. Actually, now I come to think about it, my mummy calls him all sorts of things. Okay, we'll leave that to yourself. This is why I'm writing to you. I'm writing to you because my daddy is forcing me to, anyway, some kind of Emacs error there. He says, I'm writing to you because I think my daddy, who beeped, should be the Lug Radio Community Hero 2006. He's definitely a geek and is always banging on about Lug Radio and Debian and Ubuntu and stuff like that. I know what Debian is, you know. I do. My daddy has a t-shirt with it on the front. He makes me tell people it's the one true operating system. I don't think so. My friends and their mummies and daddies look at me funny when I tell them that, though. Daddy doesn't let me listen to your radio show. He said it's full of language.
Too much language.
He said, I don't understand him. Language just means words and stuff. My daddy's weird. He listens to strange music too. He does, you know. I think he's a hero anyway, but then again, that's because he's my daddy. Vote daddy, I mean vote Jono. Beep! Even though it can't be Lug Radio Community Hero 2006, perhaps you can make him Lug Radio Daddy of the Year 2006 or something like that. Love from Heather, age 5. Thanks for reading in, writing in, Heather. That wasn't you. We know who it was.
Yeah, it was beep.
How dare you get your daughter to write in and suggest you? So we're going to have a special Lug Radio
kicking
Wadpuller award. So thanks for sending in that shemale. Next.
Okay, so here's what amazes me about Lug Radio Live. Listen, guys, we've had a couple of emails saying stop going on about it. We will after the
this is
next
the last
show.
Time I'll mention it.
Apart from on
it
the
is, it is. The next show, which will be Lug Radio Live and Unleashed from Lug Radio Live, will be the last show of the season.
So,
and then we'll shut up about it for about another 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. So it's okay, don't worry. But what amazed me is that people are coming from quite a way off. We have here long-time listener, first-time caller, Corey Benninger, if that's a real name.
Not Doctor.
He says, love the show, and most of my office has switched over to calling out Chin instead of bullshit.
Nice.
Thanks
nice.
To you guys. And he's from New York City.
Hey, New York City.
The chin makes its way across the ocean.
I know, it's amazing. And we know that it's true that it's from New York, because he starts his sentence with, So, I'm coming out to Lug Radio Live.
Right, well, he's going to get that beaten out of him when he gets there.
He works for an internet security company.
All right.
And he basically says that... he was interested in hosting a BOF on open source security tools.
Cool.
And wondered if that would be good for Lug Radio Live.
Definitely,
well, yes,
yeah.
It would be. Basically, the best thing to do is to come along at the event and,
And write your name on a bit of paper.
And it's BOF 0.3. BOF 0.3 is going to be stuff on the day for BOFs. Yep. So get there early.
Call him BOF 0.3.
Now, he's coming Friday to Monday, so any time would work for him. So, guys, get together with Corey Benninger and, I think you'll be able to spot him because he's the New Yorker. He'll be going around going, get me some ham and eggs and things like that, you know.
Those eggs need to be over hard.
Do they eat a lot of ham
and eggs? I don't know, but they just kind of...
Ham and eggs? What the fuck are you talking about?
I only found out the other day.
Presumably on rye or something. Incidentally, that means all the other people who are in America who've written into us go, we'd love to come to Lug Radio Live, but it's so far because we're in America. He's coming, and he lives in New York.
Yeah, and Laszlo's coming from Canada.
Canada.
You know, the sort of top bit of America.
Now,
that's not going to piss off a load of Canadians, is it?
I've been to
a completely separate country. Nothing at all to do with America, honestly.
I've been to New York, and I've been to Wolverhampton. Enough said.
Well, you chose to live in Wolverhampton, Matt.
But choice isn't the word I choose.
It's the city of dreams.
Now, you were condemned to live in Wolverhampton.
Like my boys.
I've got a couple of emails, and I'm going to read two of them out, because A, they're both very short, and B, they're related. So, Andrew and Nick both write in. Andrew says, show isn't long enough. Don't reduce it.
Okay.
Okay. And Nick writes in, and the subject of his email is the show long enough? Is the show too long? And his answer is no. I know it's hard to put the show together, and I know that extending it would be time-consuming, but I would love it, and I hope that you win the lottery and can do Lug Radio 24/7. So that's a couple of emails that actually surprised me personally. They actually want the show lengthening.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to want it longer.
Anyone who's actually written in about show length has said longer, apparently.
Yeah.
And no one has said shorter.
So if you think the show ought to be shorter, then do feel free to write to us.
We should do some kind of poll on some kind of forum. We should get a forum, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe poll. Maybe
forum.lugradio.
And search for show length and you'll see a poll.
We've had an email from Daniel Lewis.
Daniel Day Lewis?
Oh, yes. No, not Daniel Day Lewis, just Daniel Lewis. He says, hello guys.
Darren Day.
I've just managed to get my fiance to listen to Lug Radio and she said that your theme music sounds like it's going to lead on to a show about a spy. excellent. Jack's Playing Ball by John O'Bacon, Esquire. Sounds like spy music.
Awesome.
She also got confused about the free as in kippers bit. So could you explain that in the
video? So did we.
She wasn't alone there, was she?
We were as confused as you are, to be honest.
I know that we have no kippers.
Why? No. We have loads of kippers. Stallman has no kippers. He says, great shows. Look forward to listening to every episode. Thank you very much, Daniel.
Fantastic. And I've got...
Say hello to your brother, Day.
And your brother, Darren.
I've got a final email, which is from Andrew Mason. And Andrew Mason says, well done with Jokosha guys. The Guadex shows are fantastic, and it's great that it's done in free software. So, first of all, thank you for enjoying the Guadex shows, and thanks for...
Yeah, we know the quality was a bit ropey, but yeah. I mean...
And everyone starts somewhere.
We're working on it, you know.
And Jokosha is released on the first day of Lug Radio Live, so it's going to be a big celebration
for
everyone.
Which is Saturday.
Yeah. So...
I've got a couple of quick emails here.
Keep
sending them in.
We've had a few emails asking about mirroring the show.
Thank you
very much for offering. We really appreciate it. It's all detailed on the forums. You will be able to find it on there.
It is?
Under the mirrors.
Yeah. If you go to forums.lugradio.org, look at the mirrors forum, then there's a sticky poster, a pinned post at the top, which explains how to be a mirror. We love our mirrors.
We also thank you very much to all our current mirrors, don't we?
All our current mirrorers.
And thanks to Trig for hosting the forums. Thanks to Nero and Zalia for basically, and I think Tony Whitmore for basically
ninjas. Being the Lug Radio ninjas and sorting out loads of stuff.
We need to get them to come to Lug Radio Live dressed as ninjas.
I do it.
I imagine they'll have some kind of...
In fact, I'm going to mail them about that tomorrow. that would be cool, because then people know them as the ninjas.
Do they run askaninja.com?
Eh? I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Is that like Ask Jeeves?
This is wicked. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Go to it.
Ha! I saw this thing, Mr. T fact. Got some amusing facts about Mr. T, and one of them was Jeeves asks Mr. T. Along with Mr. T can divide by zero, and Mr. T can believe it's not butter. Absolute quality website, honestly. Apparently there was some Chuck Norris facts as well.
Oh, I've seen the Chuck Norris facts.
Well, it's the end of another show.
Just one final email.
Oh, go on.
Are the coaches still running for Lug Radio Live? The answer's no.
Sadly, they're not, I'm afraid. You need to make alternate arrangements. That's it.
The show's over.
Yes. Oh, the next one is going to be Lug Radio Live.
Those of you who are coming, we will see you on Saturday and Sunday.
Yes,
season
indeed.
Season 3 is nearly over, guys.
I am going to polish my head, especially for the occasion.
Yes. And what about your balls?
Those of you who are not coming, you will be able to download Lug Radio Live and Unleashed, which we shall release 2 weeks from now.
I'm thinking about shaving my beard off as well.
Final show of season 3.
Hang on a minute. Jono, you just said what?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm thinking of maybe shaving
your
off my beard.
Your beard of war.
But what I'd like
stupid hair.
What I'd like to do, though, is I'd like to shave it off if we earn a certain amount of money for charity.
Ah, okay. So are you naming a charity yet? Or?
Free Software Foundation.
Give us some suggestions. So if you want to see no beard on my chin, then I'll shave it off on the Lug Radio Live.
Wow.
But, you know...
Ah, you did the same?
No, I like my beard. Push off.
Proper. I'm prepared to do the same.
You have no beard.
That won't take you very frigging long, will it?
It's my beard, and I'm still
you just
beard.
Got a reverse Hitler, aren't you?
So,
although presumably you go, oh, no, I shaved off my beard, and then by the end of Lug Radio Live Unleashed, you've grown it back again.
So the moral of this story is bring some money to give to charity.
And clippers.
Yeah, if Jono shows off his beard, which he's now doing because we said he has the worst beard in open source.
Yeah,
it'd be like good to shear him like a sheep, wouldn't it?
Do you want to shear me?
clamp you, like dip you first, then clamp you down. What
you personal fantasies should not be indulged.
You're not going to dip me first, okay?
You've thought about this way too much.
Yeah.
So go on, General, I'll wear. I'll hold the shavers. You put on the woolly outfit.
I'll
wear the big apron.
No.
Anyway, guys.
That's enough.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you in a few days' time.
Yes. We'll see you on Saturday.
That's going to be great. Bye, guys.
Bye.